In this video clip, I want to look for a few minutes at John 15, 1 to 17, and I'm going to call it Jesus Restates the New Covenant. Now, if you've seen the previous video clip on John 14, 15 to 27, you will say, well, there's something here which is very similar to that clip. So why are you doing another clip on virtually the same theme and subject? Well, for the obvious reason, Jesus saw fit to give his statement in John 14, 15 to 27, and then he saw fit to reissue this, restate it, in John 15, 1 to 17. And if my Savior and my Lord and my Master declared these things twice like this, then I must also emphasize these things, even though, as I say, it gives us two video clips very similar in form to each other. Of course, there are differences, but we have the same theme, the glory of the new covenant. Jesus only sets out the principles here, of course. The apostles, according to Christ's promise, by the Spirit, will be led into all truth and will expound and apply and set out the glories of the new covenant in all its fullness. Romans 6 to 8, 2 Corinthians, especially chapter 3, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians chapter 3, Hebrews, the letters of John and so on. In all these places and more, we have the glories, the full glories of the new covenant. Jesus is just putting down markers here. He says so. I have many things to say to you, more things, but you're not able to bear them now. But I'm saying these things while I'm with you. The Spirit, however, will lead you into all truth. So what are the marks of this new covenant, as we find in John 15, 1 to 17? Well, let me just pick out some of the leading points. First, union. Union with Christ. Christ and his people are one. The elect, the believing elect, the saints of God are united to Christ, one with Jesus, drawing their life, their vigor, their energy, their power from union with the Lord Jesus. Paul will set this out very fully in Romans chapter 6, but Christ sets it out here. How? Well, in the first 8 verses of chapter 15, he sets out by means of the allegory of the vine. The vine, the stem, and the branches, one, united together. And as the branches are united to the vine, so it bears fruit. You can see the picture. Abide in me, abide in me. Fruitfulness, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Abide, remain, abide, and so on. The picture is very clear. In the new covenant, believers have a living union, a relationship between themselves and Jesus. Jesus and his disciples are one. Jesus and his people are united as a vine and branches, or as Paul will set out in Romans 7, 4 to 6, united as husband and wife. Now, the old covenant was an external covenant, a covenant which condemned, written in stone, 2 Corinthians 3. But the new covenant is a living covenant, an internal covenant, a covenant written on the heart, and brings union between Christ and his people. As Paul will explain, unless a man or a woman dies to the old covenant, she cannot be united to Christ. But in coming to Christ by faith, the believer dies to the old covenant and is united to Jesus and therefore is enabled and will bear fruit to God. The fruit of personal, progressive sanctification, holiness, godliness, Christ-likeness. All that is in this passage, John 15, 1 to 17. Union, fruitfulness, living fruitfulness in Jesus. Then the word love comes over again and again. Love, love, love. This is another leading mark of the new covenant. Now, the old covenant certainly spoke about love in various forms, but the truth of the matter is, it's only the new covenant that can produce the love of God in the heart. Love is the leading characteristic, I would say, of the new covenant. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And love is here, written expressly over and over again. My friends, my love, the Father's love, my love for you, your love one to another, love, love, love. And it's all flowing out of this union with Christ and this life in Christ and this fruitfulness to God. Another word that comes over and over again here is the thought of commandments. Command, my word. I say to you, abide in me, keep my word, obey my commands. This is another leading mark of the new covenant. The believer is under the law of Christ. He's under the authority of Christ, under the rule of Christ, the headship of Christ. He is united to Christ as a wife to the husband, and as the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is the head of his people. Love is not a warm, sentimental, gushy emotion, vague and fuzzy. It's obedience to Christ. If a man loves me, he will keep my commands. And how the apostles work this out over and over again, setting out scripture after scripture, issuing imperatives, commands, demands. But it's not just an external covenant, although it's written in scripture, but it's written in the heart and the life of Christ, the life of the Spirit, the vigor of the Spirit, the vigor of Christ is in the heart and soul of the believer, so that by God's grace, it's not just an external covenant, it's an internal covenant. The believer has a new heart and is joined to Christ in union and is enabled to live for God in fruitfulness to God out of love for Christ. Of course, the standard is extremely high. It's just as I have obeyed the Father, just as the Father loved me, just as I loved the Father, just as I obeyed the Father and fulfilled his commandment and his will, so you. This is the standard, brother. This is the standard, sister. But this is the power. This is the motivating force. It's not Calvin's whip. It's not fear of punishment. It's out of love for Christ, looking to Christ, loving Christ, honoring Christ by union with him. So abide in me. I have chosen you for this. Electing grace is here. I have appointed you for this, that you might have joy in loving me and obeying me, in union with me. And this is the way my Father is glorified. I'm just picking out the seed corn here, the markers that Jesus is laying down of the glories of the new covenant. As I say, the apostles, in those chapters I mentioned, you know, those books I mentioned, Galatians, Hebrews, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, Romans 6-8, and so on and so on, John's letters, they fully explain and expound all this. We're obedient to Christ out of love for Christ, by the power of the Spirit, by the power of Christ formed within us. It's not a mystical covenant in the sense of nothing tangible. We have the scriptures. The apostles write this. Christ is recording it here for us, repeating it. The apostles recorded it. The Spirit has preserved it for us. But all this is this makes up the elements of the new covenant, the glories of the new covenant. Now, it seems to me this is what the new covenant is about. And I delight to speak on it. The sweetness of it, the joy of it, the God-glorifying nature of it, the life and the vigor of it, the love, the union with Christ. How precious, how sweet is all this. It's not that I was brought up a new covenant theologian. How I came to it, as I've said in my testimony, is that I was trying to expound Hebrews. trying to expound Galatians. And I found my covenant theology just could not stand those two books when I tried to expound them verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph. I didn't know there was such a thing as new covenant theology. It's just that I had to follow what the Spirit was showing me in the Word. I speak to those of you who are opposed to new covenant theology. I ask you to be honest with yourself. Are you letting Scripture speak to you? Or are you reading Scripture through the glasses, through the lens of your confessions and catechisms? Just read those passages, Romans 6 to 8, 2 Corinthians 3, Philippians 3, Hebrews, 1 John. And you'll see that these passages are speaking about the law of Christ, the commandments of Christ, the covenant of Christ, the new covenant. The seed corn is here, but those passages work it all out in detail. For once, try to read Scripture as Scripture, not filtered by the confessions and the catechisms. Are you one who's seeking to know more about this new covenant? You're interested in it, but you're a bit fearful that perhaps if you adopt it, you will meet the wrath of the covenant theologians. Well, of course you will. You'll be called an antinomian. But how antinomianism can be leveled against new covenant theology when, as I pointed out, the believer is under the law of Christ, inwardly written in the heart by the Spirit, outwardly written in the Scriptures, I am at a loss to understand. But true, you will meet opposition and criticism. But you must be prepared, I'm sure you'll understand, to follow Christ in his word, wherever he leads. If you are one who is convinced of new covenant theology, I've said nothing, of course, which you do not know. But how wonderful this covenant is, brother and sister. How sweet it is. What joy it is. What liberty. What light. What life. What power is ours in Christ. Oh, that we might live it out. As Christ says here in John 15, 1-17, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. May we bear much fruit to the glory of God and the praise of his name. This, I'm sure, will be a witness and a testimony to the unbeliever, and will bring much joy, much peace in believing for us. So here it is then. Jesus restates the covenant. May he write it in all our hearts.